Everybody across the land, here's a special from Sequel Cast, though I don't know what it's gonna be about. Maybe Woody Allen, maybe Spike Lee, maybe Technicolor, maybe 3D, or maybe you just gotta wait and see. Cause you're gonna find out.
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast Special. Sequel Cast Special is a podcast that usually looks at movies in a franchise, kind of or a special film topic, kind of at a wider scope than what we normally discuss on the Sequel Cast show. And this time around, we are going to do a Sequel Cast Star Wars fan extravaganza with we have two listeners of the show on as a guest. We have Robert.
Good evening.
And Steven.
Hello.
You might recall Steven from our Men in Black 3 episode from about a year or so ago.
Missing a Lewis.
Lewis?
You know, Robert. We got a Robert and Steven. Oh, wow. My brain is not working right now. I got the author wrong. I'm a terrible, terrible gamer. Oh, I'm going to mute myself after that.
You must do penance.
Yeah, yes. Very good. We talked about the Star Wars movies and all the different episodes of the Sequel Cast, and I thought it'd be fun to do a special to have some listeners talk about it, because we have some pretty heated discussions about the Star Wars movies. Robert, what is the first Star Wars film that you ever saw?
I saw A New Hope back on Betamax.
Nice.
A Betamax that my dad had, and I saw that. So that was probably in the late 70s when I saw that the first time.
Now, with Betamax, was everything in full screen? Did you really have anything in widescreen?
No, it was not okay. In widescreen at all. It was standard, yeah.
I see. I grew up with VHS, but we never had a Betamax, so I never knew. Steven, what was the first Star Wars film you saw?
I can't pinpoint the exact time I saw the original trilogy, but I can definitely remember seeing Episode 1 as soon as it came out at the cinema. I'd have to say I'm probably it was the prequels I saw first, really. I'm sure I have seen the original trilogy before that, but I can't remember exactly when.
Now, you mentioned, Stephen, in email and chat and all these things, that the prequels hold a special place in your heart.
Yeah, pretty much. It was the first time when I went to see Episode 1. It was the first time I sort of remember going with my brother to the cinema and whatnot. And basically, as I've got older and whatnot, we've got closer ever since, sort of thing. So it's probably brought us together a bit. Obviously, he's older than me, so he'd seen the original trilogy more than I had at that point. But I still prefer the original trilogy, but the prequels are, for me, just as good. But that's obviously a debate that every Star Wars fan has.
So, Robert, what do you think about that opinion that the prequels are as good as the originals?
I think the best thing I could probably say is I strongly disagree, sir.
You know, you might.
And I was a fan of the original trilogy for many, many years. And after Episode 2, I just completely lost it. It nuked the fridge. I'm sure you know that idea. It just completely killed the original trilogy for me. It was just such an awful movie.
So you haven't been able to watch the original trilogy since Episode 2?
I haven't been able to watch the original trilogy since Episode 2. That's right. I have a VHS version that I've showed my daughter, who's a year old. So I show her the before version, the original version of the trilogy.
Okay.
So I don't show her the new Lucas barf version. But yeah, the prequels really killed it for me.
I kind of wish they would have I kind of wish they would have called Special Edition the Lucas Barf Edition.
Right.
No, Barf was a Spaceballs character. They can't do that.
Oh. Right.
Hey, the Special Edition was the first time I was actually able to see one in the theaters. And I have extremely fond memories of going to see Episode 4 Special Edition with my uncle, who got me into all the, you know, geek stuff. So me and Uncle Bubba were, you know, we got, and that theater's not here anymore in New Orleans. That one got torn down years ago to build a mall. That's, to me, Special Edition is where my nostalgia really starts.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I was a kid, I saw Spaceballs before ever watching Star Wars, which is kind of ridiculous.
I bet it made no sense whatsoever.
No, I really enjoyed it. I just didn't get all the Star Wars jokes, of which there are many in Spaceballs. But I watched Spaceballs over and over again. I don't know, I guess until I was in middle school and I was maybe 11 or 12 when I first watched the original Star Wars trilogy on videotape when they did that, the re-release, which see him on videotape for the last, see him again for the last time.
With last in quote marks, of course.
Well, yes, but in that case, they were sort of right, I suppose, because they didn't have those original versions and, you know, available on a home format until years later with the supplement disc when they re-released the trilogy on DVD. And now that version's out of print and very hard to find.
It had a really nice collectible tin.
Yes.
Which I actually keep my Star Wars micro machines in that tin.
Cool.
Huh. So, Steven, when you saw that Phantom Menace in the theater, were you into the action figures and all that as well, or was it more getting to watch the movie with your brother and learning about Star Wars through him?
I obviously knew of Star Wars before Episode 1, because in 97 they obviously got re-released, and I'd started collecting the Legos at that point, or I got them bought for me at various birthdays. And they also, I don't know if they did it in America, but here there's a crisp company, or chips, in America, that are called Walkers, and they did Tazos, they were called. I think they're Pogs, is that another name for them? But basically they had pictures of Star Wars and on these little Pogs, sort of Tazos.
Oh yeah,
and you collect them, and then you put them in a collector's book. And basically, I ended up collecting all them before Episode 1 and all that. So I sort of knew the films through that, really. Again, I'm pretty sure I'd seen the films, just because I was young, I didn't really remember when and where I'd seen them. So that's the kind of stuff I'd collected before Episode 1, but apart from that, I'd never really had action figures or anything like that, no.
You know, I'm looking here at the logo for the Walker's Crisps, and it looks very, in America we have a Lay's potato chips, but it's almost the same logo.
Right.
So I wonder if it's the same company. I'm not quite sure. Speaking of, you know, Star Wars food collectible things, I did find something online. I guess when they redid Phantom Menace in 3D in France, a chain released a like Star Wars and a Darth Vader cheeseburger. And the Darth Vader burger, the bun was black.
Oh, God.
Very disturbing looking.
It looks like a poisonous mushroom.
It does, yeah. I saw that on Reddit recently, and it just looks completely unappetizing.
Looks like there's marshmallows in one of the burgers, but maybe it's onions. I'm not really sure.
Space onions.
So what's something about the Star Wars that means a lot to you, Robert?
You know, for me, I think it's the relationship between Han and Chewie. And I know that seems a little odd, but, you know, those two guys, completely different, 100% different. They're completely far apart in lots of different ways, but yet they love each other. They care about each other. They got each other's back through the whole trilogy. And I think that's probably the best part of it for me. And even today, and I'm smiling now just thinking about it, that just fills me with happiness. I love to think about that relationship and what they had gone through over the many years of the trilogy.
And it's great with their relationship where, you know, there's no dialogue. They never felt the need to, subtitle Chewbacca as he's growling. I wonder if they ever thought about that, if they ever faced.
Yeah, and the same thing could be said for R2-D2 as
yes,
well.
I mean, yeah.
You never know really what he's saying. Everybody else does, but you still know what he's saying, even if it's not subtitled.
I had the opportunity to see David Prowse at a comic convention. He was the man inside the Darth Vader suit for the original trilogy. And it was kind of sad. He was sort of like a sad, angry man, but he was trying to sell he released a memoir of his time on Star Wars, and it has the worst title for a book ever. It's called Straight from the Force's Mouth.
Oh, dear.
That is terrible.
Yes. But
speaking of conventions, I actually have an interesting story about Peter Mayhew. It comes secondhand, but the person that I got it from, actually, I trust quite a bit. We were at a convention called Comic Palooza in Houston, Texas, real big. Will was there last year.
And Peter Mayhew.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. We'll be back there this year on Memorial Day, so we're looking forward to that. But Peter Mayhew was in the bathroom of the convention center, and my friend walked into the bathroom to do his business, and he could hear a lighter being clicked. And every third click or so, you'd hear, gosh darn it, but in not censored, obviously. And he would click, 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 and my friend pulls his lighter out and hands it over the stall to the guy in the bathroom. And the guy takes the lighter, clicks, he takes a big inhale and blows it out. And when he blows it out, there's a big plume of marijuana smoke that fills the bathroom.
Wow.
Peter steps out, is like, you want a hit?
Wow.
I was like, no, I don't smoke. Thank you.
And Peter Mayhew, of course, is the guy who played Chewbacca. I've seen him at a convention. He's extraordinarily tall. He might be almost 7 foot or something.
Yeah, exactly so.
He was actually down here for Mardi Gras. We have a walking crew called the Crew of Chewbacca's.
Cool.
And they actually had him leading it this time.
But I got to ask, the thing that he was smoking out of, did it have little frogs swimming in the bottom?
No, I don't think so. Huh. But it would be funny if it did.
So, Steven, have you ever been seen any Star Wars things at a comic convention or?
I've not. No, I've never been to one. There's not that many big ones in the UK, to be honest. And if they are, they're obviously usually in London and whatnot, which is a bit further away from where I live. But no, I can't say I ever have. My fandom is really through internet podcasts, obviously, and collecting, again, Star Wars Lego and watching the films and that kind of stuff, Clone Wars, that kind of stuff.
What are some good recent Lego Star Wars you've collected?
Well, we've recently moved in house, not so many recently. But probably the most recent I've got is the R2-D2. Basically, it's just like a obviously to scale model of R2-D2. But the best one I've got, I'd say, is the Star Destroyer, which is probably about a meter long and a couple of foot wide. So it's big, lots of pieces. But unfortunately, it's currently in bits at the moment after moving house and whatnot. But I've got over 70 sets.
Oh, wow.
Not Lego. I only collect the original trilogy ones, actually, just because I didn't want to start collecting the prequel trilogy Lego, because otherwise I'd have no money left, basically, because there's far too many. But it all, like I say, it all started off in 97 when I got bought the Snowspeeder, when they re-released the films. And ever since then, I've basically just gradually got one small, you know, the small sets as well as the big ones, but it's crept up to over 70 sets, so I've got a few sets in the office at the moment, and then some are bound for the loft eventually, unfortunately, but I'll have to take a photo at some point and get them all made up.
Well, that'd be great.
Do you have any of the really big sets? Like, I always loved like the Star Destroyer, and it was huge. It was like 3 feet long.
Yeah,
God,
that's the one. That's the biggest one. There's others that are sort of smaller, but still pretty big, like TIE Advanced, TIE Interceptor, they're pretty big. Millennium Falcon's usually pretty big as well.
But yeah, the Lego Millennium Falcon was the one that I wanted from when I was a little bitty kid, and I've never gotten it. It's kind of like that old Amazing Stories TV show where the guy wanted the ray gun all his life and finally got it. So I'm hoping one day I'll be able to get that Millennium Falcon.
Depending on which one you get, there's ones that are slightly more affordable than the one I've not got, which is the Ultimate Collector Series, and that is massive. I think it was almost £350, which I don't know what that is in dollars, but it certainly was big. But I didn't get that one; got the slightly cheaper ones.
Well, you know, speaking of Legos and Star Wars, has anyone here besides me played any of the Lego Star Wars video games?
No, but I've heard they're really entertaining.
They are amazingly good. I mean, for what looks like the cheapest, most crash commercial cash-in from two companies, they are amazingly well-made games and tremendously fun. They're better than they have any right to be, and I really applaud the designers for that.
My wife and I have had a lot of fun with the Lego game, not just Lego Star Wars. I think lately we've been playing Lego Lord of the Rings, but they don't make a lot of two-player games where two people can play at once on the same TV anymore, so they're nice for that. And it's also, I mean, even though you die and come back, you don't have a limited amount of lives, there's still challenge and trying to find all the hidden bricks in the level and all these sort of things. But they do a good job at familiar sort of situation and characters, but all the little scenes in between the levels, the characters don't talk. It's sort of this pantomime business going on.
Yeah, and I played the original trilogy Lego Star Wars and had great amounts of fun with that. And you're exactly right. The cutscenes are fantastic. It feels Star Wars, even though they're little blocky characters.
Yeah, I've played them too. And speaking of the Star Wars Lego, again, has anyone seen the short animations that were on that we've made out of Star Wars Lego?
No.
I've seen some little shorts on Cartoon Network, but they don't really stand out that I can talk about them too much.
There was one, I think they were on Cartoon Network. They weren't here in the UK, they weren't on Cartoon Network, but there was one, it was the Padawan Menace, I think, was it? And then the Empire Strikes Out or something like that. They were quite good. I quite enjoyed them.
I'll tell you, the Star Wars and Legos have been, I can't believe it took them that long to finally make official sets. Because I remember being little and just having boxes of generic Legos and building Star Wars things out of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just can't believe it took to me being like a teenager for them to finally come up with those.
That is something, that is real interesting how you go into a store now and you see Lego, and it's difficult. I don't even know if they even sell just the Lego blocks where it's not themed based off a movie.
It's actually
more expensive. Really?
Because they only really put them in like the big giant box.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you can't find like little things of just plain Legos. It's really hard.
If you go to a Lego store, we have one here, and I live in Houston, Texas, so we have a big mall here that has a Lego store, and you can buy the pieces a la carte. You can buy, you know, they have huge, huge barrels of them all over the store, and you can buy all sorts of pieces and colors individually.
Do they charge you by the piece or by weight?
Usually it's by the piece, although they sometimes have sales as well where they do by the weight, or where you get a box and can fill the whole box up. Or,
Can you imagine being the clerk and having like somebody come over there with a big giant thing of it? Okay. And you have to sit there and count all the little onesies and twosies and bricks.
Oh, actually, speaking of other stuff, anyone here besides me see the Droids or Ewok cartoons from the 80s?
I remember them showing them on the Sci-Fi Network back in the day in the mornings, and I caught it a couple of times.
Yeah, I've only seen bits and pieces of it. I've never sat down and watched all of those.
I'm afraid I've never seen them, though. It would probably come out before I was born, unfortunately, so I've never seen them.
Well, they're really tricky to track down, too. Like in 2004 or 2005 or something, they released, in the America at least, they released a DVD of Ewoks and a DVD of Droids, but it was only a few random episodes cut together to feature length. And so it wasn't even like a complete set. I think Droids actually was on for one season and Ewoks was on for two. But there's no like complete legitimate official sets, I think, that was ever released.
There really needs to be, though. Droids is an exceptional show. I mean, it really... It blows most of the other television animation of its era away. It's very sophisticated storytelling. They stretch 1980s animation about as far as they could go. It looked like nothing else was on television. The backgrounds looked like they were straight out of a Mobius comic book. Right. The fact that they got Anthony Daniels to reprise C-3PO was really pretty awesome. And it just also had a level of storytelling that was on par with
the original trilogy. He actually does the voice for 3PO in Clone Wars.
Ooh, that's true.
Oh, in the new series. Yeah, he's...
He's really into doing the character.
Yeah, I don't think he doesn't do it, does he? As soon as he gets asked, that is his character. I don't think he likes anyone else doing it.
I just looked here on YouTube, and the Droids cartoon, at least the first episode, is up on YouTube. The full episode.
Oh, the Great Heap.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh, that is awesome. I think that was like an hour long. It's almost feature length on its own.
I wonder if that's the planet that they find Darth Maul on. I'll have to go back and watch that episode.
Cool.
It might be. The Clone Wars series, you were talking about that earlier, Steven, the newer one with the CG. I need to get more into it because I tried watching season one and had a very hard time getting through some of those episodes.
Skip right to two or three, even better.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, the Clone Wars cartoon is probably the best thing that Star Wars has done in many, many years, and that's probably because Lucas didn't have a finger in it like he did everything else. You know, it was produced by another
team.
He's
had just enough fingers, and that's he's got just enough input to get him on the right track, but he can't make those stupid decisions that he makes.
Right. Yeah, apparently he did. He's come up with most of the story ideas for the Clone Wars. It's just that he doesn't actually write them in detail, as it were.
Because he's a horrible writer.
They had a couple
writer.
Of episodes that were about the background characters that he and his family played. Like, I like that. That was kind of funny. It was a real, amusing nod to him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that show continues, with the whole Disney acquisition of all things Lucasfilm, Star Wars included.
It probably will. It's just, I'm afraid that it's going to switch to the Disney digital cable channel. I think that would be a bad thing for it. I think they would lose more. They've been kind of losing, I guess because it got also such a slow start, they've been losing viewers like consistently. Although it's actually picked back up a little bit this season from what I've read on Wikipedia. But I think switching it to Disney XD would actually it would be bad for the show.
I think they need to market it a lot better, to be honest, because it's the last couple of seasons have not been on UK TV, and it's just all the fan base here, if they have watched it, it's more likely they've been on the internet, legally or illegally, I don't know, but it's not been on UK TV. Nowhere. If it does, it comes on Cartoon Network about a year after, and they usually play them out of order as well, which really annoys me, but...
That could be really important in that show because they do a lot of like 3-4 episode arcs. Oh man, yeah. I can't.
Yeah, especially the later seasons, like you said, the original series, you could probably do it out of order. It doesn't really matter, but the last few seasons, like you said, had arcs that need to be in order.
Yeah, it's neat. I like the focus on the clones they do in some of the episodes. I mean, they sort of, not all the stories follow around Anakin necessarily on that show. And
I actually like their portrayal of Anakin in this a little better. Because especially in this last season, you've really got to see where he does have this tendency where he could go to the dark side. Like, they develop it a lot better. Because you see this one where Obi-Wan... Well, no, this was season 4, where Obi-Wan pretends to get killed to go undercover.
Yeah.
And the kind of reaction he had was he was going to start... In fact, he did force choke a lot of people in those couple of episodes trying to get information. And when he finds out that the Jedi Council had set the whole thing up, oh, man, you could see, like, oh, this is the kind of thing that drives him to be Darth Vader.
Yeah, there were a couple of good episodes. Well, a few episodes, then. I enjoyed them. I have seen those ones.
I really, really want to know what happens to Ahsoka. That is my biggest thing. I want to know what happens to her.
I hope they tie it into the films. That's the biggest thing for me, continuity. I hate it.
I'd like to see her disappear and like be hiding out on Kessel or something. It'd be kind of nice to...
Yeah,
because it'd be kind of cool to have like older Ahsoka become a new mentor for, you know, Jedi in the future, where, you know, Luke meets up with her and
yeah,
she can actually tell him about his father. That'd be kind of cool.
And whether the sort of get the character into maybe the new films or something, I don't know if they'll do that, but that's a possibility, I suppose.
I couldn't imagine a live action version of her though. Like, I can't picture an actress fitting the bill correctly. I actually get used to what they look like and sound like in the Clone Wars cartoons more than the movies.
Yeah, well, going back to what you said before about Anakin, to me now, I always, when I watch the prequels now, I'm in my head, I'm thinking, oh, it's not the Anakin from the Clone Wars. And to be honest, even the same with Obi-Wan. I love Ewan McGregor, but obviously, because I've watched Clone Wars a lot, it's sort of you see in him more than the live action ones now.
But thinking about Ahsoka and the actress who would play her, I would expect that she would probably be a CG character.
See, I don't like all CG. That's one of the reasons I didn't like Jar Jar. I mean, aside from everybody hates Jar Jar because he's Jar Jar, but I didn't like him being all CG.
Well, I didn't have a problem with Jar Jar as much. Jar Jar, I think Jar Jar gets a lot of hate because, you know, he was kind of silly and over the top in the first the Phantom Menace. Because he was like the droids. I mean, the droids were kind of the funny,
yeah,
you know, over the top kind of characters, and that's kind of what Jar Jar fit, you know. So I didn't necessarily have a problem with that. I think my big problem was that Yoda in Episode 1 was a puppet, and I liked that because it looked real. He was walking around, and then they changed it in 2 and 3 to CG, especially when he starts flipping around like a
design was terrible.
Oh, it was. Yeah, I was about to say that.
Oh,
puppet.
It was hideous. At least the second and third movies, the CG one looked like the original Frank Oz puppet. Like, it looked like Yoda.
Yeah, I'm glad they've changed that on Episode 1 and the Blu-ray. Oh, the puppet just, it didn't look right at all.
I mean, I wonder, had they kept Yoda a puppet, what he would have looked like in the fight with Count Dooku and Attack of the Clones.
I think it would have looked weird because he would have looked CG in those fights. Or it would have been like an old school Darth Vader Obi-Wan fight where they're doing like kendo style.
That fight would only happen in CGI. I cannot conceive of a universe where that fight sequence would be created with a puppet. Maybe
a stop puppet motion, and Christopher like Lee who can barely move. That one, you know what? That would have been a force battle at that point. If they had been doing with a puppet, they would have just been throwing things with the force at each other. They wouldn't have lightsabered. Now apparently lightsaber is a verb. Would you all have like in your lives, you all just have like a Star Wars fan moment, like just like a perfect moment for being a fan of Star Wars?
You know, Will, that for me is real easy, and that's when I was standing in line for Episode One. You know, we had been waiting for 20, and I'm an older guy up there. I'm in my mid 30s, so you know, I'd seen the original trilogy a thousand times if I'd seen it once. And that time before Episode One, there was this great hope. There was this build up of wondrous, and then the trailer started coming and we started seeing images and it looked great. It looked beautiful. We were all excited for it. And I think that time right before the opening credits was probably the best time in my whole life to be a Star Wars fan. Of course, then it fell apart when the movie started, but that time before was just brilliant and great. And all of my friends who were fans, really enjoyed that part of it. You know, and then we spent the next 2 years breaking the movie down and beating it up. And then Episode Two came out and we all died inside.
Have you seen the movie Fanboys?
I have, yeah.
Yes,
If you're a Star Wars fan, you haven't seen that movie, you're just doing yourself a disservice, because that really encapsulates every, like you were saying, just that moment before Episode One. It really brings that down to something that even non-Star Wars fans can understand. And I love that movie. I also like the movie that it's based on. There was like an old fan film also called Fanboys about these guys paying a British actor to convince this nerd to break into the movie theater and steal a copy of Episode One. And instead they replaced it with a copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, wow.
I look at Star Wars, and I mean, aside from the movies and stuff, I really grew up playing a lot of the video games. Did anyone else ever play those, like X-Wing or Dark Forces or...
Oh, I did.
X-Wing was the first video game I ever owned, like on a PC. I didn't even have a Nintendo yet.
I'm sure I played X-Wing, and there was an RTS, a real-time strategy Star Wars game that I really enjoyed that was based on...
Force Commander.
It was Force Commander? It was based on Age of Empires engine. But I forget the name of it now, but it was a real-time strategy, and I loved that. I played the hell out of that game for a better part of 2 years. Loved it.
I remember playing Super Star Wars on the Super Nintendo, and the Tatooine level beating up Jawas just...
Ootini! You know, I think the one you're talking about, Robert, is Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds. But...
No. Yeah, no? That's one of them. This one is Empire at War.
Oh, okay. 2006, yeah. So newer.
But, you know, I even go further back than that. I played the original 3D wireframe game, sit-down game, you know, back in the early 80s. So that was kind of my first touch of Star Wars. And I remember you could hear the Obi-Wan and the speakers behind you. And, you know, when you're like 8, 9 years old, that's like the greatest thing in the world.
I've played the more recent video games, like the Force Unleashed, the Old Republic, those kind of ones, and obviously Lego Star Wars, like we mentioned before. They're the ones I've more played, to be honest, rather than the older ones.
I really liked the Force Unleashed. I thought that was a lot of fun. But the second one, like, it just felt a bit... Did you ever play the second one, Steven?
Yeah, that I enjoyed playing it.
Yeah.
For about 5 minutes, because it basically ended in 5 minutes. You could probably complete the game in 10 minutes. It was
so
short.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And then the ending of it was okay. But again, if they're meant to be continuity, which I don't think they should be, well, it's just ridiculous. It doesn't go with the films at all, I don't think, anyway. I don't like it, anyway.
One Star Wars video game I played a bit in the arcade was one they did in the late 90s called Star Wars Trilogy Arcade, developed by Sega, and some of it was kind of an updated version of the older game you were talking about, Robert, where you attack the Death Star.
Right.
But you have like a joystick and you can sit down at the cabinet. But it gets really strange in later levels. You fight Darth Vader, but you're doing it while you're controlling it with a joystick, and it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, that lightsaber thing was really odd in how you controlled it.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why you'd want to put a lightsaber battle in a Star Wars game, but wiggling around a joystick and wiggling a lightsaber on screen just comes off as a bit strange.
That's actually why I never finished Force Unleashed. I had it for Wii, and trying to mix regular controls with swinging a lightsaber was really awkward.
I actually enjoyed that on the Wii. I played it on the Wii too, and I enjoyed swinging the Wii remote around, pretending it was a lightsaber. Something I'd wish I could do for real.
I really wanted to try the Kinect Star Wars, aside from the Han Solo dancing fiasco. But I really wanted to try some of the other things in Kinect Star Wars.
I guess that is kind of the real coup, that so far the video game that seems to have the best lightsaber action is No More Heroes, which isn't a Star Wars game.
Right, exactly. And I played No More Heroes quite a bit. And I was telling a friend of mine who enjoys games as well, I was like, this is the best Star Wars game that's not a Star Wars game.
Can you explain what it is a bit?
It's kind of a sandbox Grand Theft Auto-esque game where you're an assassin and you go and kill other assassins, and you're a sword fighter, and you have different moves that you can make when you wiggle the Wiimote in different ways. Similar to how Force Unleashed is.
But your signature weapon is, for all intents and purposes, a lightsaber.
Right. You know, something we haven't mentioned yet in games is the recent MMO, Knights of the Old Republic, which I played for a while. Has anybody else enjoyed that at all?
I did.
I enjoyed it.
I played it a bit. I believe it's just, what's it called? Knights of the Old Republic is the RPG they did on Xbox. But,
it's just Star Wars The Old Republic.
Star Wars The Old Republic. That's right.
There you go.
No, I thought it was interesting, but I wish the design would have been a bit more interesting are the areas where you have to fight in. It was very, you go to this boxy room and into another boxy room, and all the enemies respond.
I loved it, especially playing Republic. I loved going around on Coruscant, and because since I'm a role player, I role play in World of Warcraft. I work on a role play mod for that game, and I was thinking, man, I would love to be able to do this in the Old Republic, but they don't allow any sort of mods, and I yet to meet role players on the roleplay server for the Old Republic.
And the Old Republic was good. It had a lot of good points. And I too, Brandon, come from a World of Warcraft MMO background. I was in a high-end raiding guild for many years. But the problem that I felt is the main storyline in Old Republic for your character was fantastic. It was getting through all the BS in between those storyline quests.
Oh, God.
That was the real issue. And they only had 5 quests. Go kill this thing. Go pick up those things. Take that thing over there. And that was it, you know. A very, very boring quest design.
Yeah, oh, God. Hoth and Tatooine, I wanted to shoot myself. They were the most lonesome, desolate places. I mean, yeah, it fits, but you don't want that in a game. Like, it totally works. Like, this is what Hoth would actually be like. This is not fun.
Right.
Did you play that one, Steven, at all?
Yes, I enjoyed it for everyone else for the first. I think I got about 6 months into it, and obviously not playing it for 6 months, but during that time I played it quite a bit, and then I think it just suddenly hit me that it will never end. Obviously, that's the whole point of those games. It just carries on. And I think I've realized in my own head that I obviously like games that have got an ending and, you know, you can complete, as it were, bit of a completist, probably. So it just got repetitive. And like you said, although it was on different planets, you were virtually doing the same quests and whatnot, and so I just gave up. Really, I've still got it, obviously, on the computer and whatnot, but very rarely go on.
Play now, so
it is.
You can log in at any time. So
yeah, it's still there. I'm probably not going to uninstall it from the computer, but I don't think I'll be going on very regularly.
Again, they had some really good voice acting in that. Like they had my favorite voice actress playing the female bounty hunter. So it's a great Delisle, which I'm sure some of you might know from Avatar.
Sure. My favorite part of the Old Republic was the instances or the dungeons, whatever, where you had a story to complete, and there was there was lots of things you could do in the instances. It was very interesting, very unique in each one. It didn't feel like you were just running around killing monsters or whatever. You actually felt like you were a part of an ongoing story.
I did like that they had some different ways you could progress. Like if you had slicers or something, they could open doors and you could go different directions. And I liked that kind of aspect. That was neat.
Yeah, I got to try a few of the different classes in the game when I played it, and I really liked the Imperial Agent or something, where it's kind of like Imperial Agent was the name of the class, but you almost felt like you were playing like an evil James Bond or something. You were spying on people and then trying to play one side against the other with the huts on the starting planet. And I almost wish they would have put it on an Xbox or something or a PlayStation on the TV, because I think that could have worked there too. I might have played more of it. But, it went free to play pretty quickly, but that's sort of where a lot of those games are going. I'm a bit surprised. WoW, I guess, is free to play up to level 20 or so, but...
It is, but it isn't. Like, you really can't do anything.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't even use, certain public channels to talk, so...
Really?
You can go in, you could do some quests up to level 20, but anything else you could possibly ever want to do in the game, not so much. And that's only on accounts that haven't been upgraded to a real account. So it's not like Rift, which is a really great MMO. You can play any of your characters below level 30.
And Rift is more just a WoW clone.
Got a few more things that WoW could really do with. Like things like I love doing rifts in Rift, just like going around a zone. The random monsters pop out and you fight them. I love that. And also their housing thing is amazing.
So, Steven, I guess back to get, you're mentioning a bit about the prequel trilogy back in the beginning. Is there, do you sometimes wish a different actor would have played Anakin Skywalker, or what is it about that character that makes him interesting as he progresses throughout the films? He does change quite a bit from the little kid in The Phantom Menace and so forth.
Which Anakin do you mean? Which actor do you mean? The kid actor or Hayden Christensen?
I guess I meant Hayden Christensen, come to think of
it. Right. I don't think... To be honest, he was just doing what he was told, really.
Yeah.
I don't really blame him for anything. It was just... obviously, he's a bit whiny, as that's the usual word and whatnot. But when he actually turns, I was quite in Revenge of the Sith, when the dialogue between him and Obi-Wan on Mustafar, I really enjoyed that. It was just more the quickness of the turn, as it were. It just all of a sudden. He seems to be, evil, doesn't he? He chops Mace Windu's hands off, and that's it. He's turned evil. But going back to Hayden Christensen, I think he was doing what he was told, really, and he did it as best he could. I don't blame him for anything particularly.
How do you feel about Robert? You said you like the original trilogy so much, and Darth Vader is a big character. Is it difficult to go back and try and look at Darth Vader after the prequel, tries to explain?
He's not gone back.
You said you haven't gone back, but maybe if you've caught a glimpse of it as your daughter's been watching it or something.
Well, You know, and especially after Lucas changed the ending of Jedi to show Hayden Christensen rather than the original actor, you know, it changed it a lot. And I think it makes the character less evil, less dark, especially when you're watching 4 and 5. He has the redemption at the end of 6. But during 4 and 5, he's this dark, huge, evil force, and he's choking people and sending people to their deaths and soaking them in carbonite and all this other terrible stuff. And then you go back to the original the prequels, and you see, oh, well, he was just a little misunderstood kid who liked to drive go-karts and build robots and stuff. And it kind of takes away a lot from the character in the original trilogy.
I think, like, I don't know. I almost wish that if you're going to put Anakin as the Force Ghost at the end of Return of the Jedi, why not just film Hayden Christensen in, like, the kind of, like, charred, beat-up face makeup and have him be there when they take the mask off Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi?
I didn't agree with that either. I am a Star Wars sort of apologist, as it were. I do back them up for anything, but I wish they would put Sebastian Shaw back into Return of the Jedi. That doesn't make sense. Because he's got older. He wouldn't look the same as that. And I think you said on the Return of the Jedi podcast, if that's the case, we'll get rid of Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor in as a Force Ghost. You know, if you're going to do it for one, you might as well do it for both, really, or don't do it at all.
Well, I've got a question, because I haven't seen Return of the Jedi with the inclusion of Hayden Christensen. So he just looks like normal Hayden Christensen? He's not aged? There's no makeup or anything?
Nope.
No. His face is... he actually died. It's as if he actually died at the moment he became Darth Vader.
And was perfect.
Before his arms and legs were cut off and he was burned severely.
Yeah.
And like it's as you said, Stephen, I think it's kind of nice with how it originally was with Sebastian Shaw there, because like you feel, oh, Darth Vader, has found out his son. He's gotten rid of the Emperor, this guy who's sort of been controlling him. He's kind of found peace and he gets to sort of be himself as an old man, you know, sort of happy. I'm not quite sure what they're trying to say. I mean, they could have even had like the young Yoda puppet show up as a ghost, or maybe have maybe Qui-Gon Jinn would have showed up there. Maybe that would have made more sense. I don't know.
And Mace Windu.
Yep. I think I probably would have shot myself if they would have put Qui-Gon Jinn there at the end of the Force Ghost. That would have completely destroyed me as a person, I think.
Now, Thrasher, you said you haven't seen what Hayden Christensen looks like in Return of the Jedi.
Indeed, I haven't.
Okay, click on this link that I just sent you. I want to hear your reaction on the air.
That's kind of
it
what
looks
I
like.
Expected.
Alec Guinness is making fun of him. he's like, look at this idiot.
That is, Obi-Wan and Yoda are both like, can you believe this asshole? But I like this. This I don't. I guess I really, you know, don't mind. He kind of looks the way I would expect Hayden Christensen to look at a Force ghost. I'm more concerned about what he looks like in the Vader suit. That's what kind of really...
Oh, no, in the Vader suit, that's the same. They don't change that. But
I still think that's terrible and horrible.
In the Vader suit, they make it a Sebastian Shaw still. But what I was wondering is, what if they had Hayden Christensen's face when they took off the mask?
Well, there was talk that that's what was going to happen. That there was going to be a digitally aged Hayden Christensen, but that I think there was such a fan uproar that was reconsidered.
Thank God.
Yeah, I'm crying on the inside just thinking about it.
I want you to know, listeners, there's a Facebook page called Hating Hayden Christensen in Return of the Jedi. It has 3 likes. The only post on there says, I love you, sexy budju. But if you go to facebook.com/... No, okay, I'm not going to give this whole link out. This is ridiculous. But that exists. I'm pretty amused to see that. There's so much about Star Wars that we've talked about and so many little things. Is there any last thing everyone wants to go around and talk about real quick before we wrap up here. It can be about a movie, video game, a piece of music from the film, or whatever.
I got one.
Yeah, go.
Just in general, I think Mace Windu was criminally underused in the new trilogy. I think there was at least a whole movie you could have gotten out of that character, and it's a real shame that he doesn't do anything in the first movie, does a little bit of something in the second movie, and then just falls out of a window in the third movie. Although, I like to believe that he survived the fall and went into hiding, that he's still around by the time of Return of the Jedi.
With no hands.
Yeah, well, he uses the Force.
I got one too. Oh, go ahead, Brandon. I'm sorry.
Like, that would be awesome to see him actually wielding his lightsaber where his hand should be, but he's using the Force.
Mm.
That'd be badass. See, that would be Samuel L. Jackson worthy.
For me, though, it's the music. You mentioned the music, Matt.
Yeah.
You know, even as much as I dislike the movies today and the way they are now, the music holds up so well. Just hearing those first few notes of the Imperial March, or you know, any of that great John Williams music, it just brings back just floods of great memories for me from childhood. You know, I was pretty shy, lonely kid, nerd kid as a child, and it just fills me with hope and joy. I have all the soundtracks on CD, and I enjoy that so much. It definitely makes the movies for me so special and interesting.
Speaking of the music, me and my fiance are getting married next year, and we're thinking of having some of the music at the actual ceremony and walking back and down the aisle, or back down the aisle, whichever. So it is absolutely fantastic, all the music, and even the prequel music is still good as well.
And that's John Williams as well, too.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to march to the Imperial March?
probably not, no. I don't know if you'll know it, but it's, I think, Across the Stars, I think it is. It's the Padme and Anakin tune. From Attack of the Clones, actually. Yeah.
That is
probably going to
music.
Yeah, probably going to get that.
And congratulations on that, Stephen. That's great. And
thank you.
I have to say, when I got married about 2.5 years ago or so, I found that one of the more difficult things is we had a DJ, and we had to compile the music ourselves for music that he'd play in the background. And that took hours and hours and hours just trying to pick, 100 different pieces of music to play.
Oh. I'll just give them the soundtrack scene.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That'd be much easier.
Yeah, play all that. Yeah, the Fox fanfare at the start of it.
Very good. So, Stephen, what's something that you would want to
about? Everyone's probably talked about it already, but obviously there's going to be new films. What is everyone hoping for, or what do they think they're going to do? Me, personally, I know all of the EU and all the books that have come after, but I've never read them or anything. So for me, it's just a open playing field, as it were. You know, I just take whatever comes, but just wondering what anyone else was hoping for or thinks going to come.
Well, I'm hoping for a good movie. More importantly, I really want to see R2-D2 and C-3PO have an adventure. I love those characters, and the Droids TV show and the comic book shows that they can carry a story. I would love to see R2-D2 and C-3PO have some kind of adventure on the big screen, where they are the focus.
Could that maybe be one of the spin-off movies that they're talking about?
It could be.
Do that rather than take up a whole sort of episode 7 or 8 or whatever.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd love to see a movie about them being owned by Captain Antilles, and it's all about how they are accidentally responsible for all of his greatest military victories.
I would really like to see...
You're not confusing Captain Antilles with Wedge, are you?
No, Captain Antilles is different from Wedge.
Okay,
I think he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm just making sure. It was like, wait a minute. I didn't know Captain Antilles had a great military victories.
Well, I always assumed that Captain Antilles was a military captain, not just
even
a
though
Alderaan's starship captain.
Even though Alderaan's meant to be peaceful, but never mind.
Well, he's part of their defense
they're
force.
Peacekeepers.
Completely peaceful.
What is that you were saying, Robert, about what you were hoping to see in the new film?
There was a trilogy of books that are set after the original trilogy of movies, and I'd really like to see them go back and do those as the movies. I think that there's lots of great stuff, great stories, great characters in those books, and I'd really like to see them take some of that information and use it in the new movies.
You mean the ones by Timothy Zahn, like the Heir to the Empire?
Right. Right, exactly.
And those ones,
with the twins and the Skywalker twins and Han Solo twins. Sorry, my bad. And all those great stories, because there's a great military story there. There's great love story there. There's great Jedi story there. So there's lots of good stuff in those books.
See, I have to go with – I really like The Courtship of Princess Leia. That's my favorite novel.
Huh.
I think that is one of the interesting ones that would make a good movie. I think I mentioned that in the Return of the Jedi episode.
I think you did, yeah.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Because everybody likes rancors.
Right.
Unless – who doesn't want to see force-wielding women riding rancors?
Like, as long as it's lightsabers in the new films, I don't care what the story is, to be honest. I'll be quite happy.
I'll be happy as long as they don't – and I might have said this in the Return of the Jedi episode or something. I don't quite remember. But as long as they don't have the plot where, like, Darth Vader immediately comes back from the dead to wreak havoc on everything.
Oh, it would just be a clone.
A clone Darth Vader, and they kill him, and then inside is little Anakin, the little Jake Lloyd. The little Jake Lloyd.
Yikes.
Yippee!
I have to say, though, I'm glad you mentioned the Thrawn trilogy, because one of the first role-playing game I ever purchased was the Star Wars role-playing game by West End Games, most of which that material is what went into making the Thrawn books.
Right.
So to me, Star Wars is extremely important to me as a gamer, becoming a gamer. It made me buy that first book.
I guess I'm thinking about Star Wars, to me, something I really like that I don't think we've covered, and we have covered quite a lot here, is I really, growing up with the video games, I really enjoyed... there's one called Star Wars, I can't even remember the name. I'm such an idiot. Give me a minute. It was called Stay on Target. It was, Star Wars, Battlefront.
Oh, yes.
It was multiplayer.
I forgot about it, yeah.
And you could
forget that one.
You could play as Rebel and the Empire, and it was sort of mainly multiplayer for the most part. And there was a few of those on PC and a few of them on PSP, but, and they did develop, I think, a third one for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. It just never got released, but it was apparently very close to being finished. But to have something with the modern high-definition graphics where you could play against people as the different sides using all the force powers and things, I think would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I can't believe I forgot about that one before. I still play that now on the old PS2. I've got Battlefront 1 and 2. And that is still fantastic. That I can't believe I forgot it. But yeah, I'd love them to bring something similar or just another one of them out. You're right. It'd be good.
Okay, well, I think we've done a good job talking this past hour about different Star Wars elements of the Star Wars saga on this episode of SequelCast Special. Be sure to check out our website at sequelcast.com to download other episodes of our other shows like SequelCast and Sequel Commentary. So for SequelCast Special, this is Matt.
And Thrasher.
And BJ.
And Robert.
And Steven.
Saying...
The Force is strong with fandom.
May the Force be with you. May the Force be strong with fandom. I love it how you felt me on the... Lake of Naboo before you killed me.
Later.
Okay, that's for later, Thrasher. I'm sorry.
You were my brother, Anakin.
Very good.
Draw me like one of your Gungan girls.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
We have to film that. That has to be our fan movie.
I almost want to Google. I want to Google Gungan Titanic to see what comes up, but I'm a bit afraid. Let's see here.
Well, 34.
Oh no!
Don't do it. Safe search.
Sequelcast Special is a Hipster Goblin production.